For some of you, the following scene will be a walk down memory lane. For others, it'll be an impossible to imagine cautionary tale. Imagine, just for a moment, that you just got off work. It's 7 o'clock, it's already dark. You're driving home. You pull up into your driveway, because you can't get into the garage, as it's loaded with someone else's shit. And you just sit there. You turn off the engine, and you realize that you don't want to go back into the house. You don't want to have to deal with what lies inside that door. So you sit there and you stare at the house that you worked so hard to support and realize this wasn't your first choice. In fact, this is nothing like what you had in mind. And you look around the neighborhood and you realize this isn't really where you want to live either. But somehow, without your full knowledge and awareness, you compromised and compromised and compromised. And now you find yourself living a life that you don't even recognize. This is the story that so many men inside marriage experience on a day-to-day basis. Today, I'm gonna go down the top 15 regrets that married men experience. Many of you will experience it, like I said, like a walk down memory lane. But for those of you who have not yet had this opportunity to have these experiences, consider it a cautionary tale. See it as something that you need to be aware of and avoid at all costs. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Most guys don't like talking about what it's really like on the inside because the next question that comes up in a conversation when two guys are talking, one married, one single, and the married guy's describing his experience in life, the single guy's just sitting there staring into his beer thinking, what the hell is this guy doing? Why is he enduring this? Why did he volunteer for it? Why does he keep allowing this to happen? Why doesn't he just get the hell out? The single guy doesn't understand how trapped he is. The single guy doesn't understand the prison that the married man has built for himself. But we all do it. If you go into this institution, and no one should go into an institution voluntarily, but if you go into this institution of marriage, be aware that some of these things I'm going to tell you, if not all of them, are going to ring very, very true. So let's start with the princess room. This is number 15 on the list, by the way. The princess room is a room, and it may mean several rooms, it could even be the bedroom that you sleep in, is a room that has been designed completely by your wife. Now, it started off with the idea that you were just being a nice guy. You're like, I don't want to fight over this. It's like choosing your battles. That's what it boils down to. You're choosing your battles, and you don't choose this battle. And so the moment you give up, you submit, you decide, I'm not fighting this battle, that's the minute she realizes that she's won 100%. And she's going to turn this thing into her Barbie doll house. You're going to be living in Barbie's dream house. You're going to have all the pink and lace and white, and there are going to be rooms in your house that you're not permitted to walk into without having showered and put on fresh clothes, and then only supervised. There'll be no food in those rooms. It's like, well, why am I living in a house that has rooms that I cannot enter? Why can I not just sit on any chair or any couch in my own house and eat a pizza if I so choose? This is my house, my furniture. I paid for it. Speaking of paying for it, why does this furniture cost more than my car? Why is it this furniture is so damn expensive? Most of it's not gonna last that long anyway. Hell, eventually you're gonna change styles, you're gonna throw it in the trash. Why are we spending so damn much money on furniture? Anyway, that is the princess room. This is a complaint that is universal among all men. I remember my uncle, he was a Marine, he was a police captain. This guy did 2 tours in Vietnam. The first time they made him go, the second time he liked it so much he went back voluntarily. Yeah, he was psycho. Anyway, this is a man's man. This guy, when I met him as a kid, he was working as a vice cop in Columbus, Georgia. And he was kicking and shitting. You know, he was kicking down doors. He was making people shit their pants. He had a gun on him at all times. He was driving in a hippie van back in the 1970s, looking like some kind of drug dealer. And he was just trapping people one after the other after the other. Anyway, this guy was nuts. And he was, like I said, as masculine a man as you are ever going to meet. He was big and strong and pain in the ass, just as a guy. But man, he would not... He was as masculine a man as I ever come across, especially as a child. Anyway, I went to go visit him about 20 years ago. And I pull up to his house. He's retired now. He says, "Why don't you come on in, John? We'll watch some football." And I walk into his house, and there's this beautiful room. Curio cabinets everywhere. Everything in the house is just pristine. It's like I'm walking into some kind of a museum or something. And he shuffles me around to the back of all that, through all this beautiful stuff. And we've got this one little teeny tiny room, and it's not even really a room. It was almost like she had decided that she would leave him like a corridor at the end of the house that would be his. And there was like this couch there, but it was more like a bench than it was a couch. And there was a TV that sat like 4 feet from it. So you were like, you didn't need a big screen because you were so close to it, you know? And he and I had to sit like right next to each other to watch. Yeah. This happens to everybody. This happens. Marriage is the institution where men lose all their autonomy and their authenticity. And number 14 speaks very loudly to this scenario. You need permission to do just about anything. So if you want to go out after work, hang out with your friends, have a couple of drinks maybe, you better check with the warden, man. She's not going to like that. You know, you're going to have to get permission. You can't just not go home. Like, you have to check and make sure it's okay. Don't even just try sending a text saying, "I'm going out with the guys." That will result in a very serious conversation at some point in the future. If you want to spend some money on yourself, something in the neighborhood of, say, $25, $30, well, you better be prepared to fill out some paperwork because there's some bureaucracy associated with this. It's going to require a conversation. There's going to be some bank accounts out. You're going to be trying to explain your need for this item. Even though you're the person who earns all the money, you're still going to have to explain to her why you're spending your own money. Debu, come back. Come back, buddy. Don't go down there. I don't know where he's going. You're going to find that you might need a hall pass just to use your own bathroom. Yeah, it's like you're in a real prison. Except the difference between being married and being a prisoner is prisoners get conjugal visits. As a married guy, that's over. Yeah. But you know, you don't need to worry about seeing your friends anyway, because your friends have now become our friends. And your friends are not a part of the our friends group. The our friends group is all couples, married couples. And they all sit around talking about their feelings a lot. Now your friends, like your old buddy Mike, you would sit around and tell stories, tell inappropriate jokes, and maybe drink some beers and fart a lot. That's no longer her friend. Mike is out of the question. He's not eligible to be your friend any longer. He doesn't meet the criteria. So don't worry about seeing your friends anymore. You'll be seeing our friends all the time, probably way more than you like. Nothing like spending a night with a bunch of people you don't know very well and don't like very much. There's just nothing like it. So as a single guy, you probably spend a lot of time wondering how you're going to fill all your time, you know? You're sitting around on the weekend like, I'm bored. Don't know what I'm going to do. Well, as a married man, you don't have that problem, my friend, because you have a second job. That's right. You go to work all week long, and you work, earn money to pay for all these things that need to be done and bought and supported. But on the weekends, you've got a second job where you're going to be a domestic servant. You're basically going to be doing chores all around the house. You're going to be cleaning. You're going to be mowing. You're going to be running errands. You're going to be perhaps driving kids places. You've got a full docket. You don't have to worry about getting bored. The wonderful thing about this job is you're getting constant feedback. Your boss, she's going to meet with you every night at dinner, and she's going to critique your behavior and how well you performed your tasks. And she's going to give you pointers on how you might be able to do it better next time. So not only are you fulfilling your time with constructive activities, but you're also improving as a person because you're getting so much constructive feedback. That's just nothing quite like it. You know, being a man is tough. You know, we got to make lots of decisions all the time, take responsibility for our actions and stuff like that. But when you're married, you don't need to worry about making decisions, man. All that's being taken care of for you. You've outsourced it. In fact, your opinions aren't even suggestions anymore. Like, if you have an idea or a thought about something that needs to be done or should be done, she'll take it into consideration, and then she'll decide exactly how and when and where you're going to do it. So don't worry about burdening yourself with all the authority that usually comes from running a household. That's being taken care of. You've outsourced it. She's taking care of it for you. Just relax until she tells you what to do next. You're going to be fine. Well, when you're living this high on the hog, you know, it's really hard not to let it go to your head. You know, it's really good that you've got her there to keep you humble, because she will do exactly that. You're going to find that you'll get more appreciation from the barista at Starbucks than you will from your own wife. The words thank you will never come out of her mouth. And if they do, it will be sarcastic. It'll be a satirical thank you, like, thank you for screwing up my life kind of thank you, because that's what she's thinking in the back of her head. Yeah, you're better off trying to hang out with your Uber driver if you want appreciation than you are with your wife. So yeah, don't worry about getting too conceited or too caught up in this wonderful lifestyle that you've created for yourself as a married man. She'll keep you humble, I promise. She will. You know, when you're single, you got to spend all that time up, you know, keeping your body up to date, you know, running and, you know, going to the gym and, you know, eating healthy foods and taking care of yourself, getting good night's sleep and all that stuff. But once you're married, you can just let all that go. You don't need to worry about it anymore at all. You're going to just become a human couch potato, because there's not going to be any more opportunity for you to spend a lot of time hanging out at the gym or running on the weekends. Remember, your time's going to be pretty much filled. You've still got that second job to deal with. But what's going to be ironic is, as you get a little bit softer and take on that dad bod, you're going to find some criticism in this. Yeah, she's going to try to hold you accountable. You're going to have to up your game somehow. You're going to have to find some time, maybe in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning, to do some calisthenics around the house, because she can't afford a gym membership, you know. And that bike, you know, that thing's been sold already. So you're going to have to find a plan to try to tighten things up, because she's got high standards. She's got her eye out there. She's looking, you know. And if you're not maintaining the equipment, you know, she's going to find someone with new equipment and bring them in, take your job. Keep that in mind. As a single guy, it's really tough, because you're having all this meaningless sex, you know. It just doesn't have any depth to it. But with your wife, you know exactly what it means when you get it. It means you've been good. That's right. That's your reward for being good. Because if you weren't good, you were not going to be getting any. If you had done anything that perhaps was wrong, and God knows, you know the way we are. We men, we're always doing wrong stuff. Well, then you're just not going to get any. And because we are like that, and we do things wrong so frequently, you're going to find that sex is a rare and wonderful treat. If you're lucky, you'll get it once or twice a year. And when it does happen, it's going to be short, and it's going to be cold, and it's going to be on a stopwatch, basically. You know, you're going to have to get it done before she gets bored with you and moves on to something else. So don't worry about all that empty sex. That's not going to be a problem for you anymore. When you get laid now, you're going to know why you're getting laid. Trust me. Feel like you spend too much time watching TV, trying to find entertainment, maybe in a podcast or something like that? Well, when you're married, you don't need to worry about entertainment. All you got to do is ask her how she's doing. Yeah, you've got the next 45 minutes taken care of. Now, you got to be careful, because this entertainment is interactive. You've got to participate enough, but not too much. So if you're not participating enough and you're just sitting there listening, then she's going to get irritated. She's going to think that you're not participating, that you're not listening, that you're not paying attention, that you're off in a dream world in your head, which you probably are. Or if you start talking too much and not listening enough, well, now you've created a whole other problem, because now you're mansplaining. You're on top of her. You're pushing her out of the way. You're being a bully. So that's not good either. So you got to find the fine line between participation and listening. And it's not easy. It takes some practice. It takes some practice. And the trick is, if you get really good at it, you can pretend that you're listening, because you've heard this story so many damn times that you already know what you need to say and when you need to say it. It's like a rehearsal. It's like you're part of the show. I mean, it's unreal how much fun it is. You're gonna love it. You're really gonna love it. You know, with the way the economy is lately, trying to figure out where to invest your money is really tough. I mean, you've got a lot of risks there. You've got to really know your stuff. You might need to seek some advisors out and read some books. But when you're married, you don't need to worry about that because you're a human ATM. You're not investing money, at least not on the stock market or in crypto or anything like that. No, you're investing money in throw pillows and new furniture and a spring wardrobe. Maybe even a girl's weekend away. You know, you're investing in her peace of mind. That's what you're investing in. And fortunately, you're gonna have to have, you know, a meeting, like we talked about before. Whenever you spend any money, you gotta have a meeting about it. But you gotta go to the board, and the board only has one member, and it's her. And she seems to approve all of these spendings. It's interesting that you spend so much sometimes, you wonder how it is we are living a lifestyle that we can't afford, and I'm paying for it, and I've got all these people around me who really don't appreciate it. This is the essence of what it's like to be a married man. Just FYI. But you won't have to worry about investment. That's off the table. That's out of your head. You are clear and free from wasting your time thinking about investments. Do you remember those cute little babies? Oh my God. They were just so cute when they were little. Well, you know what happens is after a little while, they grow up. And as they get older, they can start talking. And because you're working so hard, maybe even working two jobs to pay for all this shit, when you finally do get some time off and you want to spend some time with your family, you're going to find that you are persona non grata. The only time your kids are going to ask you a question is, where's mom? Dad, do you know where mom is? It's like you don't even exist. It's like you're the ATM on legs. You're that fixture on the couch. They're not interested in what you're doing or where you are or what your life is about because mom's the one who's there all the time. Mom's the one who's dealing with them day in and day out. And that's her job. That's her job. Now, any woman will tell you that's like the hardest job in the world. You know it. You know it is. Forget about all those damn coal miners, those guys scraping barnacles off the bottom of dams or whatever. Yeah. This mom thing, this is some serious shit. There's a lot of casualties. But they don't appreciate you anymore, my friend. You don't measure up. You know, as a man, one of the criticisms we get a lot of the time is that we're not very in touch with our emotions. And you guys know, it's really a terrible thing. You know, we talk about it all the time when we get together, about how we're just not emotional enough. Well, the wonderful thing when you're married is you get exposed to emotion like you would not believe. The emotions change all the time. I mean, they go from high to low to high to low. It can change four or five times in a single day, honest to God. The emotion that is the most fascinating to me is crying. You know, I can count on one hand the number of times I have cried in the last 20 years. I think my wife cried like every third or fourth week, you know, where there was some kind of a teary thing. I wasn't sure if it was somebody had died or if I had left the toilet seat up. You just never know. I mean, at any moment, she can hit the tears button and they just come just like out of nowhere. There's just a complete emotional wreck. So if you're concerned about not being in touch with your own emotions as a man, don't worry. You're going to get tons of practice because you're going to be with a pro. She's going to teach you all about emotion. And it's sort of like hostage taking. You'd be surprised how much power emotion gives a woman. I mean, they hit that tear button and they are fully expecting you to cave on whatever issue it is, whether it's, you know, buying new furniture, putting the seat down, you know, giving her money for a girl's night out, whatever it may be, she's going to get it. That's what we call emotional hostage taking, and women are pros at it. Do you remember the Lord of the Rings trilogy? I think one of them was called the Fellowship of the Ring. Well, when you give your wife a ring, there's something that happens inside her brain. Something changes. It's like a transformation of the ring. She goes from being this low maintenance chick that you're hanging out with, that is lots of fun and loves to hang out and drink and have sex all the time and is open to almost any kind of spontaneous event. Like, yeah, she's cool as hell. You put that ring on, And I swear there's something that happens. Just like, remember little Frodo when he put that ring on, how he would disappear and how all those weird things would happen in his head, and what was that guy's name? And we kept calling it Precious. I can't remember. But yeah, she's like that, Precious. And this new personality comes out, and this personality is driven by this darkness, and you don't recognize it anymore. You're not sure who she is. She reminds you of the evil stepmonster or stepmother from one of these old Disney movies. You're thinking, am I the princess here? Am I Cinderella? And she's like the evil stepmother, because I don't know where that pretty girl went. What happened? I mean, I just have no idea how this transformation occurs and how it occurs so quickly. But literally within a few months of putting that ring on their finger, they start to change. And by the time you get 5 or 10 years into the marriage, you don't know who the hell this woman is. You're thinking, that's not the girl I married. Back in the 70s, there was a genre in the movies called the anti-hero, where you would see the whole movie from the villain's perspective. And it made you compassionate and concerned about the villain to some degree. Even though you knew the villain was the bad guy, you did kind of identify with him on some level, The Joker is a movie like that, where you can kind of get in the Joker's head a little bit, despite the fact that you realize he's the villain. Well, you're going to get some firsthand experience with that, my friend, because you are the villain. Yes, in your own life, you're the villain in your own life. It's your show, you're the lead actor, and you're the villain. And you will know this because you will be accused of causing all the problems in her life. You're going to be responsible for everything that's gone wrong from the day that she met you. She will not take responsibility for any of this stuff because she's the hero of this movie. You are the bad guy. And so you are going to get blamed for every last thing. God bless her. She's a victim, What was going on over there? Probably a woman having a problem. I shouldn't say that. That's bad. A few years ago, there was this really funny quip I heard people saying about other people. And it's, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Well, my friend, you are in a stupid game. Yes, you are. And your stupid prize, your big stupid prize, the number one reason, is you're going to realize that you are bound in a contract that makes no sense at all. Because she can break this contract at any moment and walk away with half your stuff and a pension. And a pension. Yeah. So think about that for a minute. As miserable as this is, as miserable as it is living this life as the anti-hero in your own life, where your kids only ask you, where's mom? And you've got to ask permission to do anything and go anywhere and spend any amount of money. You're locked down in this life. But if you fight back, if you decide to stand up, put on your big boy pants, make a big deal out of it, fight back. Tell her you're not putting up with this shit anymore. I'm the man. I'm the man here. I'm the one in charge. You can't push me around. Well, that's when she calls her lawyer up and she says, yeah, he's cracked. I need out. And they bring in the SWAT team, You're going to be bent over a police car. They're going to be accusing you of domestic, abuse. You're going to be living in a one bedroom, maybe even a studio apartment, all by yourself, eating off a paper plate, looking at a tiny little TV. But you'll be happy. Waiting for those lawyers to send you the final bill, how much this is going to cost you, what your life will be reduced to. But at least you're out. At least you're out. This is the life of married men. So as you sit there in the driveway, staring at that house that you didn't choose, living in that neighborhood that you didn't really want to live in, can't get into the garage that you paid for because it's filled with all her shit, you're going to wonder, should you just back up and drive away? This is the question that most married men face at least once a day. So if you have not gone down this path yet and you are still single, I implore you to take this as a cautionary tale. Yes, I have added a little bit of fun to it, but the core truth is still there. The underlying truth is real. Marriage is not a game to take on lightly. It's one that requires the utmost thought and maturity and masculinity before you even get involved. If you have any insecurity about your relationship with a woman before you get into one, trust me, she knows it. She feels it. She's got a little upper hand on you. And the minute she puts that ring on her finger, my friend, you're going to be working for her. So I suggest that you not get married. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. If you like the video, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might need to hear this, please share it with them. I hope you found it funny, but with a little grain of truth to it. If you're stuck in a marriage or you're at the end of a marriage and you're looking for someone to talk to, get some coaching on all this stuff, please check out my website at johnsgriffin.com. I've been talking to, hundreds of guys over the last couple of years, and I think I've been able to make a real difference in some people's lives. Maybe I can make a difference in your life. And if you're not sure, you can book a free consultation for 15 minutes and we can kind of spitball it around and see if it's worth setting something up. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy. And if you can, stay single.